Morning. Nice looking group here this morning.
Amen.
We're so glad that you're here. And I pray that you got the same attitude that the psalmist had. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to get up and come together and worship the Lord, knowing that one of these days we'll be worshiping Him for all eternity. I don't know what all that's going to involve, but it ought to be good. Whether you're in the sanctuary, out in the parking lot, or listening on the website, we're so glad that you've chosen to be with us. Those who are visiting, I want you to know we're especially glad that you're with us today. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, oh, thank you for this day. Thank you for the health that we have to come and be a part of this worship service. Thank you for the blessings that are ours. Father, I thank you for those people that would love to be here, but their health prevents it. Not that I'm thankful for that their health prevents it, but that they have a heart for God. And they want to worship you, even though they can't be in the Lord's house. Their desire. And I thank you, Father, that we can worship you, whether we're in a home or a nursing home or wherever we are. Most of all, Father, I thank you that Jesus meets with us, that He's the guest, the honored guest, the worshiped guest in this place of service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. The visitors, we welcome you as our special guest, as always. And some of you, we're just not going to count visitors anymore. We're just going to be part of us. How's that? We'd just love to have you. Good to see you this morning. Hey, you know it's the first of another month. And as the month rolls around, here we are. Kenny, we're in June already. My goodness, where did the year go? I mean, it has passed before us. But now it's birthday time and anniversary time for the month of June. So we do this every first of every month. So I'm going to announce now the birthdays for the month of June. Charlie Stroop, June the 4th. Adrian Hartzell, June the 6th. Zach Snyder, June the 6th. Pat Burgess, June the 7th. Avera Hartzell, June the 14th. Gary Hamilton, June the 15th. Kathy High, June the 16th. And Jeanette Barbie, June the 22nd. Did I miss anyone? All right. Give me a key over there somewhere, ladies. Okay.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
And as to be expected, June is a very busy time for anniversaries. Got a lot for the month of June here. Ted and Bonnie Barbie, June the 1st. A little bit late, Ted, but we're getting there. Jeff and Lori Keplinger, June the 9th. Jeff, I'm going to ask you, how many years has it been, son?
A lot.
A lot. Lori, you have a right to have something in rebuttal if you wish to say something. Nothing, all right. Okay, happy anniversary. Kenny and Rita Linker, June the 19th. Kenny, you feeling good this morning? You in good shape? How many years? 51. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Amen. Grant and Aaron Hartzell, not 51, but Grant. 15. There we go. Wonderful. Ann Barbie and Melvin Meigs, June the 24th. And David and Stacy Talley, June the 25th. Well, congratulations, all the anniversaries. Let's give them a hand. All right. As usual, we also, everybody says, Leonard, you're a creature of habit, and maybe I am in some ways, but there's one thing I hope we never do away with and never quit doing, and that's remembering the hymns of the church. And so that's the reason I want to share hymn singing with you each Sunday. And this Sunday, let's page 411, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's do 1, 2, and 4 as we all stand together. It's on the board or the books, either way you want to do it. Sit down. Would you turn around and speak to someone and tell them they're looking as good as they possibly can? Okay, thank you. Do that. Thank you, Jay. Well, I have a few announcements for you this morning. It's good to see the smiles, isn't it? That's what it's. Fellowship is part of that. It's good to see the smiles this morning. A few announcements I want to share with you. I want to remember, I want the nominating committee to remember tomorrow night is meeting at 6:30 here at the church for the nominating committee. Also today, to next Sunday, I want to announce there will be a call conference for next Sunday. The purpose of the call conference will be to consider amendments to the Constitution bylaws. And so please be here. It's a very important time for next Sunday's conference. Now, down front, you will see a advanced copy of the two amendments that we will be discussing and we'll be asking you to approve. It's right down front. You can get a copy before you leave. If you need to see that, you'll all be together on that, okay? Now, we've got Vacation Bible School coming up June the 27th through July the 1st. Ms. Rita, you have something you want to add to that at this point? Amen. Absolutely. All right. Any other announcements from anyone? Okay. Let's go to the prayer request. We have prayer requests this morning to share with you. I have one for Ann Barbie. I think we've all known that Ann had an accident last week, and she actually totaled her car and ran into a flatbed truck, and she was just so distraught about it and brokenhearted, and she broke her arm in two places, and she is going to have surgery and for a pin to go in, so that'll be next week sometime she sees the surgeon. So keep Ann in your prayers. She's really having a hard time with this, and so pray for her. All right. Also, let's remember Jeff Kay's brother and also his mom. And anyone else now that this morning? Yes, Miss Rosina. Okay. Okay. We'll do. Anyone else? Anna, you all doing well?
Okay.
Good deal. Good deal. Wonderful. Angela? Do what there?
Remove it.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Oh my goodness, okay. Absolutely. And Lionel, I know Dad and Mom, they're recuperating, but slowly, right? And so let's remember Heath and Kitty and Miss Birdie. How's she doing, Tamara?
Very slowly.
Yeah. All right, are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, as we always do, first let me thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've already given us. Oftentimes we ask before we say thank you, and Lord, I just want to say thank you. Because, Lord, we know there's many, many blessings here today that are manifested to us as we look across the audience today. But Lord, there are those, Lord, who are still hurting. And Lord, we want to lift them up to you today in prayer. We pray for Miss Ann Barbie today, Lord, as she's dealing with the car accident, Lord, and her arm. We pray for William Honeycutt with cancer, Lord. We lift him up to you today. For Glenda Jordan, who has experienced the COVID, Lord, and is ill, Lord, we pray for her at her for her healing. We continue to pray for Kitty and Heath Hahn. Lord, we pray for them, and Lord, we pray also for the caregivers. And Lord, they are several in the family, Lord, but we pray for Lionel and Judy and David as they and Tamara as they caregive for her and for both. And then Lord, for Miss, we pray now, Lord, for Aunt Birdie, Lord, as we pray to give her strength and pray to give her courage. And there again, we pray for Tonda, and we pray for also for Tamara and the caregivers, all the caregivers that share there. But Lord, we know there's a need there. There's a time there that they all need comfort from you. They need strength. And Lord, give them patience, we pray. And then now, Lord, as we go forward in our service today, we want to lift up Pastor Ed to you today, Lord, as he comes and will also be teaching us and teaching and preaching your word to us today. And I pray for Miss Rita as she comes and has a part of our praise service this morning. And Lord, we be very, very careful to thank you, Lord, for all that you give us. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, that you give us with our services here. We pray already for our service for Wednesday night, Lord, in our prayer study. And now, Lord, we ask again and we pray again and we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I make this prayer in your sweet name. Amen. Miss, yes, I would. There's one other announcement. We did not have any graduates that we know of. Does anyone have a graduate, or you know a graduate that we need to recognize this year? Because no one made it available to us, so we're going to say no at that. If you know of anyone, please let me or Kathy know, please, if you would, please. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. Kathy's got my back. She keeps it. What I'm doing. And speaking of help, I've got Miss Rita, if you would please come. And Rita is going to come and share with us now our part of the praise service. Rita does such a wonderful job of this. Miss Rita, come share with us.
I'm just going to move this thing over to the side.
Okay.
This morning I picked out one of our favorite songs. It's Victory in Jesus, which you probably saw in the bulletin. And so we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to do a little hand motions with it, so I'm going to show you that. We're not going to do much because I don't know much. But anyway, when we start the song, it's going to be kind of a peppy version of the song. And so when it comes to victory, these with your fingers, tiny circles going up. Okay?
Got it.
Jesus, middle fingers, your dominant hand goes into the middle of your other hand. Your other hand goes into the middle. You're going into the nail piercings. Okay? So that's what we're going to do today. And we'll do two verses. There'll be an interlude. And when we get to that, we're going to put our hands together. Okay? And then we're going to go into a chorus again. So, everybody got that? Victory.
Sure.
Jesus. Okay? Jeff. Oh, stand. This means stand up.
I heard an old story.
You know, they made a joke about President Gerald Ford said he couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. That's the way I feel up there trying to do those motions. My first church was Brush Creek down in Chatham County. It's a church that in 2 years will be 200 years old and still going strong, which is unusual. But they have a cemetery that dates back to the 1850s. And it's so interesting to walk through the cemetery and just read what's on the tombstones. Now, I don't think people put as much sayings and drawings on tombstones these days as they did years ago, but you know, one might say, loving mother, wonderful son, precious child, or loving father. And then there's some more that get a little more complicated. One guy, he just had some bird dogs on his because that was his claim to fame. He was a great bird hunter. Have you ever thought about what would be an appropriate phrase to go on your tombstone? That would describe, you know, somebody didn't know you, and they walked by and they looked down and saw your name and the dates, and then there'd be a phrase. What would they say about you? What would your family say about you? Now, we're going to be mostly in the Old Testament today, but we're going to start in Acts 13 and see what God said about somebody. Acts 13. And verse 22. It talks about verse 21 about God, when Israel wanted a king, he gave them Saul. And then verse 22, it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God says, and puts in a sense puts on David's tombstone, here's a man after my own heart, and he'll do my will. A man after God's own heart. Now, isn't that a tremendous testimony that God would say about a person, here's a man after my own heart. And yet, we know some things about David. He messed up big time. I mean, after all, he committed adultery. He put woman's husband in harm's way so that he was killed. He messed up big time. He didn't do so well as a father because if you think about his kids, one of them rebelled against him and tried to take the kingdom away from him. One attacked his stepsister. One killed the one that attacked the stepsister. I mean, as a father and as a king and as a man, David messed up some big time ways. And yet God says, here's a man after my own heart. How do you reconcile those things? I think we're going to look in just a few moments in some Old Testament scriptures and help us to understand David's heart. And I hope that this will be an encouragement to all of us because we all mess up. Anybody in here that's never sinned? I don't see a lot of hands. We all mess up. And yet we can have a heart for God. That's encouraging. to know that even though I am not perfect, Jesus was the only perfect one, I can still have a heart for God. I can still have a heart like God. And so, let's look at some scriptures. Now, you may or may not want to look up all of these, but David had a God-seeking heart. A God-seeking heart. If you go back to 1 Samuel 23, 1 Samuel 23, and verse 2, it says this. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures, and you see if you catch the gist of what I'm saying. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite the Philistines?" Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. Verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Kirith to destroy the city for my sake." And David goes on to say, he inquired of the Lord. He asked of God. Chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop?" 2 Samuel, let's see here. Verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, and then 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. And then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years after year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And there are others. But you notice something there? David keeps going back and saying, "God, show me what to do." And every time God showed David what to do and he was obedient, David came out on top. Now, when David messed up, it was because he didn't inquire of the Lord. He just followed his own fleshly desires, his own thoughts. But David inquired of the Lord. Now, the Lord gives each of us a mind. The Lord gives us education. He gives us experiences. And these all factor into the decisions we make. But best of all is this: we can go to the Lord for direction. Is this your standard common practice? David had a heart to always and usually inquire of the Lord. We inquire of the Lord, or should. Do I go to school, past high school, technical school, trade school, college? What do I study? What person do I date? Whom should I marry? What company should I seek a place to work? Where should I live? Where should I go to church? On and on and on and on and on, the wise person is going to inquire of the Lord. I know sometimes families try to force us, you know, "Granddad was a lawyer and Dad's a lawyer and we want you to be a lawyer." Yeah, but God wants me to be an architect. Or God wants me to be a mechanic. What's God's will? I think you ought to marry him because he's got lots of money. Yeah, but I don't like him. Inquire of the Lord. You see, wisdom and a heart for God seeks to always be in touch with God. What is the will of God? What does God want me to do? You see, David had a heart that sought God. And God said, David will do what I want him to do. David has a heart like mine, and David will obey. David will do what I want him to do. Now that's a tremendous start to having a heart like God. There's something else about David's heart. David had a repentant heart. If you look at Psalm 51, you remember after David sinned with Bathsheba and then had her husband Uriah killed. And one day, Nathan, the prophet, shows up at David's house and he says, gives this story of a guy that had a big herd of sheep and or a flock of sheep, and his neighbor had one little lamb, and how that man with a lot of sheep took that little ewe lamb. And David gets all indignant and said, "Oh, that man needs to die." And Nathan points his finger in David's face and says, "You're the man. You're the one that's guilty." Well, now, David was king. David could have had Nathan put in prison, banished from the kingdom, or killed. But David had a repentant heart. He had a repentant heart. Look at how Psalm 51 starts. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And it goes on for that entire chapter. Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." You see, David had a repentant heart. You tell a lot about a person's walk with God by how their response is when their sin is exposed. I've had a few face-to-face confrontations over the last 60 years, and I've got a few nasty letters that are still in my file. "Preacher, you're talking about me when you're talking about blah, blah, blah sin." You know, the interesting thing is, usually I don't know till they confessed it by writing me the letter. I didn't know they were guilty of that particular sin. I was just preaching what the Bible said. When I was a kid, they had the expression, "It's the hit dog that hollers." Whether that y'all had that expression out here in Oakboro or not. But how a person responds when sin is exposed says a lot about their walk with God. David should have known better, but he still sinned. But once his sin was exposed, David quickly repented. And when our heart is right with God, sin breaks our heart. Sin troubles us. And we can't hardly wait till we can get to the place where we can make it right with God. Now, if a person has the attitude, I'm doing this and I don't care, stay out of it, leave me alone, their heart's not right with God. It doesn't matter if they're a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, or a choir member, or whatever. If our heart is right with God, sin is going to break our heart and lead to repentance. You see, David wanted to walk with God. David had a repentant heart. David also had a loyal heart. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. You remember Saul was king. And Saul had a son named Jonathan. And Jonathan and David were best buddies. In fact, Jonathan knows before he dies that he's never going to be king, but that David's going to be king. And Jonathan and David had what seems to be one of those blood relationships. I remember, you know, years ago on a lot of the Western movies, these two, maybe usually a Native American and a white person would become blood brothers, and they'd nick their wrists and they'd put their wrists together and we join in blood together. We become blood brothers. In a sense, that's what David and Jonathan were. And so eventually Jonathan is killed, Saul is killed, David becomes king after a certain number of years. And then in 2 Samuel 9, we read verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And so they check it out. In verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, word comes to David. Well, first, remind you, David says, is there anybody in Saul's family that I can show honor to, I can show grace to, I can show mercy to because of my relationship with Jonathan? And they tell him about a guy named Mephibosheth, or however you pronounce it. This guy's lame. He was dropped when he was just an infant and messed up his legs, his feet. And he's living in the slums. And David brings him in. David does two things. One, he restores to Mephibosheth all of the property, the lands that had belonged to his family. And then he has him to come and eat at the king's table as an honored guest from then on. Now that's loyalty. David was showing a heart of loyalty. In other words, it wasn't just a momentary friendship with Jonathan many, many years before. It was a friendship that continued. Even though Jonathan was long dead, David was loyal to that family. Can our friends, relatives depend on us to be loyal? To be faithful, to love no matter what? In the book of Proverbs is a verse that says something about always be nice to the friend of your father. That's a loose translation. Notice, don't forget those are a special part of your life. Are you loyal? A man with a heart for God is loyal. He's not wishy-washy, in and out, cold and hot. He just continues that faithful love for others that are special. I have a preacher friend. He's older than I am. We were really good friends in Oklahoma. He's now in an assisted living place in Arkansas near his family. Got a text yesterday from his daughter. He went to the hospital for a simple procedure that some of you have had since I've been here, and they messed up. And they can't get him to quit bleeding. And he's been in and out of the hospital now for 2 weeks. And you know, and the Lord's had John on my heart for the last 3 or 4 days. And I told my wife last night, I said, if I could, I'd get in the car this afternoon, I'd be heading to Arkansas just to see John. I know it cost me $700 for gas to get there and back. But John's my friend. And he usually ends every conversation with this phrase, I'll see you here, there, or in the air. No, I'll see you face to face. I'll see you in heaven. Or we'll go in the air during the rapture together. John's my friend. David had a heart for God because he was loyal. Let's be that kind of person. And then a fourth thing about David's heart was that David had a thankful, worshipful heart. And you just about read the whole book of Psalms, but I'm just going to read a few verses from about 5 or 6 different Psalms just to remind you of how thankful and worshipful David was. Oh Lord, this is Psalm 8. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy of the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Psalm 19. You get the picture? Here's a man that loves the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 29. Give thanks unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. On and on and on and on again, you see David's heart poured out in thanksgiving and in worship and praise for who God is. One of the happy and sad experiences in David's life was when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. You remember that story? And David danced before the Ark. He was so exuberant, so excited that the Ark of God, the thing that symbolized the presence of God, was coming into Jerusalem. David was excited. Meanwhile, looking out the window of the palace, his wife, Michal, is embarrassed. And she tries to shame him later. What kind of fool are you out there getting so excited over the Lord? David didn't care. He loved God. He wanted everybody to know he loved God. Are we thankful? Are we worshipful? You know, sometimes, myself personally, I get to starting to complain about something that's not going to suit me. And about the time I get it half out of my mouth, the Lord will remind me, son, your glass is about 95% full. It's not, you know, pessimist is half empty, half full, you know, that kind of thing. No, God says, son, if you just look back over the years of your life, your glass is about 95% full. And he shuts me up every time. I'm reminded of God's goodness in my life. And I like to praise the Lord. I really like to praise the Lord. For some reason, I don't sing in the shower, but I love to get in my truck, windows are raised up, and start out through the country. And nobody cares if I'm off key and out of tune. It's just me and the Lord. And sometimes I'm singing songs that we sing in church, and sometimes I'm making them up. All I care about is that God knows I love him. That's the kind of heart David had. Now, he was a lot more poetic than I am. But God loves to be praised. The scripture says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He lives in, he dwells in the praises of his people. Now, when you think about what we've just said about David, it says he has a heart for God, he'll do what God says. Well, he was always inquiring of God. Quick to repent, loyal, thankful, and worshipful. There's not a thing there that every one of us can't do. Every one of us can live that same way. There's not a thing there that's hard, other than the fact that we're confronting the devil and the devil's trying to get us not to do it. We too can have a heart for God. We'll never be perfect. That was reserved for Jesus. But we could put, the Lord could put on your tombstone and my tombstone, this man, this woman had a heart for God. If we'll seek him, repent when we mess up, have a loving, loyal heart. And spend our time in thanksgiving and in praise. Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you do, Wes is going to start the music. You just walk down here right now and receive Jesus Christ. Just tell me, I want to receive Jesus Christ, and I'll meet you there and talk to you about it. Are there other decisions you need to make and just come to the altar? Maybe even now the Holy Spirit has convicted you of some sin that you need to repent. Or maybe there's some other decision. It's open for you to come. Help us to seek you, to be quick to repent, loyal to those we love. And may our hearts always be full of the joy of thanksgiving and worship and praise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make gracious unto you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.